welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This evening I want to continue with a theme that God's been speaking to us a little bit over the last while. Some of you may remember that he's speaking about Paul saying that our gospel, the preaching of our gospel, shouldn't be with persuasive words of human wisdom, but should be a demonstration of the power and the Spirit. And that God wants us to be a people of power. God wants us to be a people committed to seeing lives changed and transformed, not somewhere out there in India where we once heard a missionary was ministering to people, but before our eyes in our day-to-day lives. And he wants us to be a people of power that, you know, we're meant to be out doing the stuff, the same stuff that Jesus did. And we'll be speaking about that a little bit. And last week when C.S. was here, he mentioned something in his message which just stuck with me a little bit. I'd like us to continue on that same thought. He was reading from 1 Corinthians 14. And he said, "How is it, brethren and ladies, that would include you, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." This evening, if you're visiting, and if you're not visiting, just a warning as well, our service is going to be a little bit different. We're going to get really practical tonight. We're going to just start practicing. What do we mean when we say doing the stuff? You know, Jesus is out there. He did everything. And then he comes and he tells us, he says, "Everything I did, you do too." John 14, 12. "Everything I did, you go and you do it too. As a matter of fact, go beyond what I did. The same works that I did, you will do also, and greater works than these you'll be doing." And church, more than anything else, should be a training ground for that. Church should be a place of healing, definitely, a place of restoration. A place where we come and we receive just an awareness, an impartation of the love of Christ. He begins to heal and restore and make us whole, definitely. That's an important part of church. Church should also be the training ground. It should be the practice field. You know, when you play cricket, you get cricket nets and you go stand in those nets and hour after hour you've got someone throwing a ball at you or got a bowling machine and you're just practicing so that when you get out, you can be confident and know what you're doing. The same way when you're kicking at the rugby poles, or ladies, probably when you ballet, you practice in front of a mirror, I'm guessing. Never done it. Seen some movies and you practice till you're bleeding. You're not doing it. It's not about the practice. The practice is about getting ready to go and do it. And that's a large component of what church should be. It should be that safe practice ground. Small group very much should be that safe practice ground where I can practice flowing and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. A place where I can practice hearing God's voice and saying, "I think this is what God is wanting to say to you." And then he can say, "No, you're talking absolute rubbish." Or, "Yes, that's exactly what God's been speaking to me about. Thank you." We learn to hear the voice of God. Church should be that. What 1 Corinthians 14 says here, that perhaps a question that I'm wanting to throw out towards us, an ideal that we can strive towards. Imagine if every Sunday when we came together, or Wednesday at small group, or on Thursday when you get together with your friends, or on Monday when you go to work, wherever you're going, wherever you arrive, that this would be true, that says whenever you come together, each of you, I love how it says each of us, so point to your neighbor and say, "You're not excluded. You too. Each of us." Say, that's me as well. "Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation." I'd love for our church to go to that place where every one of us, when we walk through these doors, or when we walk through the doors of the coffee shop where we're going to have lunch, when we arrive at the office in the morning, when we meet up with our friends and study group, we arrive there having in our hearts a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. We arrive there with something spiritual in our hearts to give. Something that Scripture talks about there, let everything be done for edification. Edification is a word which we don't use in just everyday English anymore. It means to build up. Die Afrikaanse stichting, om te bou. To edify means to strengthen, to exhort, to encourage. I wonder if what church would look like if we walked around every day saying, God, give me something that I can build somebody else up with. God, give me something, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter if it's my mom or my dad, my neighbor who swears at me, the kid across the road whose dog is forever in my garden and shouldn't be here, whoever it may be. God, every time I meet them, whether it's my waiter just maybe having a busy week at the restaurant, God, if I have something to give. Remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke about Peter and John. And they're walking and they come past the gate, beautiful. And there's a beggar there. And the beggar says, don't you want to give me some money? And Peter looks at him and says, silver. John, one of the two of them, looks at him and says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Rise up and walk. That's a question I ask often. What did Peter have? What did he have? Because I want that. I want that when I walk past the hospital bed and someone says, man, I've had enough of this cancer. Don't you want to pay for my chemotherapy? And I look at them and say, man, I'd love to pay for your chemotherapy, but I don't have money to pay for your chemotherapy. But I've got something else for you. Go home. You don't need chemotherapy anymore. I think that would be pretty cool. You know where that starts? That starts in 1 Corinthians 14 with a heart that all the time is just looking to give. Those of you who've done the Encounter 2 seminar, Fred's got this beautiful picture. He says that all you and I can ever give anybody is, he uses the illustration, Jesus says that for those of us who haven't given a cup of water to a child, we haven't given it to him. But that cup of water, what is that cup of water? A cup of water is really easy to get hold of. Do you know, as I give that cup of water to somebody, I understand that that cup of water is only something that I got from somebody else. Predominantly from God. If I went up to a pit even and there was a, maybe I had to dig the pit and then I put my glass or my cup or my bucket or whatever into the pit and I pulled it out. You know where that water came from? Not from me. Maybe I worked hard to get it, but Christ gave it to me. We walk around saying, God, you've given me a cup of water. Who can I give? Where's someone that's thirsty? Where's someone that needs a sip? Where's someone who's running on empty that can just do with a little bit of a fill up? A little bit of a strength and just maybe a word of, hey, you know, you're okay. I was praying for you this morning and I just felt God say that He likes you. He doesn't just love you, He actually likes you. He enjoys you. If we start walking around with just thing in our hearts saying, God, where's the next opportunity for me to give somebody a glass of water? And I think once we start tapping into that, when our hearts start turning on towards that, then God starts looking at us and saying, well, what Peter had, I'll give you. Because you're not going to keep it for yourself. Just give it. You've been encouraging. You've been uplifting. You've been building up. How is it then, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all of these things be done for edification. A little bit earlier in that same chapter, Paul's writing, he says, sorry, it's wrong chapter, it should be 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, one of the biggest lies that the enemy comes and he throws into our hearts, throws into our minds, throws into our prayer life is, God hasn't given it to me. How many of you have ever heard that lie where, God wants to use them, God doesn't want to use me. Maybe even just the devil in the middle of the night coming and whispering to you. Anybody ever heard that? Most of us. Some of you, as you sit here, maybe you're still believing that. Yes, I know God's got all these great gifts. I'm going to tell you then what God is. God is a gift-giving God. It's His character, it's His nature, it's His person. It's Scripture says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. God the Father gives gifts. Call them the fivefold ministry, people that Jesus gives to his church for the edification, the building up of his church. Sorry, I'm talking rubbish. That's Jesus gives gifts. God the Father gives gifts. Those are the motivational gifts. We look at some of them just now. That's the stuff God placed inside of you the day you were born. You know, sometimes you look at someone and you say, man, they're just so crazy, but I wish I was like them. There's no ways I can do that, but I'm so thankful that they can. A gift that God has given them. It's a motivational gift that the Father placed in you the day he created you. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of all three of them. And specifically in verse 7 it says, the manifestation, another word which we hear a lot but probably don't use every day when you're walking to class or when you're sitting around the coffee table with a friend. Hey, how was your manifestation today? You know, it's not a word we talk about most of the time. It simply means to be made visible. That's what manifestation is. Something is there, but we can't quite see it. So maybe you've got a plant in your back garden, but no one can see it yet because you only planted it 2 days ago in seed form. And that plant will manifest, that seed will manifest, it will grow up, and it will become visible. That's what the word manifest means. It literally means to have the light shine on it so you can see it. So it says the manifestation, the visible working of the Holy Spirit is given to each one. Once again, look at the person next to you. Give them a bit of an elbow in the shoulder, an elbow in the ribs. Say, that's you. It's given to you and it's given to me. And who's meant to benefit from it? Who's meant to benefit from the gift that the Holy Spirit has placed inside of you? Everyone. It's given to each one for the profit of all. See, some of the biggest mistakes we make when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit is we think God's given me this ability for me. God's given me this gift so I can be cool and do spiritual somersaults, or people can think I'm amazing, or every time I go through a rough time or break my leg, it's really easy because I just go like this and God heals it. God says, no, that's not why he's given it to you. That's a nice spin-off, but he's given it for the profit of all, that includes you. And then he mentions 9 gifts. And then verse 11 he says, but it's one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The point I'm trying to make is as you sit here, if you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you've got a gift. If you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself through you. One of the biggest lies is, no, God's going to, wow, it's really amazing that God does it through them, but God hasn't chosen me for this. Romans 8, Paul writes again and he says, for I say to the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but he thinks soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ individually and members of one another together. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and we can really spend a lot of time around that. Perhaps on another day we will, but I want us to focus on this from verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I wonder how many of us have these specific gifts that God has given us, and you know what we do? We disobey Scripture because we don't use them. There's an old saying that the graveyard is the richest place in the earth because there lies unfulfilled dreams and unfulfilled promises, unfulfilled hopes and callings and wealth and riches and unfulfilled relationships, a whole bunch of stuff that was meant to happen that never came into existence because we didn't use them. This evening I'm wanting to encourage us, that gift that is in you, we're going to look at that just now. Do you know what God wants you to do with it? Use it. God wants you to stand up and say, hey guys, I can do something. God's given me this ability. Can I show you? He mentions some of them here. He says, according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, then make sure you prophesy in proportion to your faith. Or ministry, let's use it in our ministering. And the word ministry there means service. Doesn't necessarily mean what we today think of when we think of ministry. It's a total misinterpretation of the scriptural model. It just says, if you've got an ability to serve others, to demonstrate love towards others by doing something for them, then do it. He who teaches in teaching, and what are we using? It's just going back again. It says, we've got differing gifts according to the grace. So let's use that grace, let's use that gift that we've been given to do all of these different things, to prophesy, to minister, to teach. He who exhorts in exhortation means to encourage. He who gives with liberality. When we give, let's, you know, some of us, God's going to give you the ability to give. I've got some friends like that. Great friends to have. Joking. They just like giving stuff. It's what they do. The more stuff comes into their life, the more they just give it. They end up having nothing, but they don't actually care because their joy comes from giving. Some of you may have seen what, there's a TED Talk doing the rounds. It was doing the rounds about a year or so ago. You can go look it up. What they did was they took two different bunches of students and two sets was a whole bunch of different samples in total different countries to see if people reacted differently. I can't remember the exact figures, but the idea goes something like this. They gave them all $100. They said, what we want you to do, group A, you can go and spend all of the money. The number one rule is you're only allowed spending it on yourself. Who wants to be in that group? Be honest, eh? Bunch of you. The other group, group B, they say, we're going to give you $100 as well. The only rule is you're not allowed spending it on yourself. You've got to spend it on someone else. Who wants to be in that group? Most of you are liars. Just joking. And then they had them do that for a week or whatever, and then they had them come back and fill in survey forms. And you know what they found? The groups that were happier, the groups that got more enjoyment out of the money, was the groups who gave it away. Across the board, in every culture, in every country, they tested it. That one universal truth. Scripture says, when you give, give generously, give flamboyantly, give liberally. He who leads with diligence, leadership is a gift. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it carries on. You see, every one of us, God's placed something inside of us that He wants us to give. The enemy comes and he says, Philip, don't, your gift is so insignificant. If it was a cricket match, it'd be like we need to get 600 and all you can do is you can make one run. And waste 10 balls in doing it. God wants to look up from heaven and down from heaven and say, that's such a lie. Your contribution is so much more than you can ever imagine. The only problem is you've never given it, that's why no one knows about it. The reason people don't trust you, the reason people aren't excited about your gift is because they've never seen your gift. So start stepping up and stepping out and start giving that gift. Start using it. As it says then in verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let's use them. Two last scriptures, then we're going to get practical. 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes to a young man who's been discipling by the name of Timothy, and he writes his letter to him, and towards the end of the letter he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with a laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Paul says there's something spiritual that's been placed inside of you, and that's meant to be growing. Other people are meant to be able to see that gift, and they're meant to be able to see the progress in that gift. They're meant to see the way you're serving today and a year from now, take another snapshot and see how you're serving and be able to trace a line of growth in between it. As you're giving, people are meant to be able to see giving, and not in the sense of, here, everyone, look, I'm so nice, I'm giving. That's not the point. The idea shouldn't be that we're doing it to get praise from others. We're just doing it in response to God. But people should see that we're growing in it. If we're serving, if we're being hospitable, if we're prophesying, if we're ministering, if we're giving, if we're leading. And maybe you're a young leader in your small group or in your residence. You should be saying, God, I need to grow in this. And do you know, when a year from today, when we have our small group get together again and we have a party, you know what I want? I'd love for my small group people to be able to come to me and say, man, you've grown. As a leader, it's been incredible to see the progress in your life. God is so working with you. That's a scriptural mandate. Paul writes that, but he says an interesting word. Once again, coming to the gift that we're talking about tonight. That gift that's inside of you. Earlier he said, use it. Now he's saying, don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Some of us have this gift, and from time to time we use it. I've got some golf clubs that I inherited from my late grandfather. And played a bit of golf when I was at school. Didn't play much of it, play every now and again. Another day on Friday, Kewan phones me. He says, listen, don't you want to go play a round of golf tomorrow? I say, I'm meant to be working in the garden. Golf sounds much better. So go play a round of golf and wake up at like, I don't know why people want to start playing golf at 7 in the morning, but anyway, so wake up at 6, start getting everything ready, and I realize I've got a problem. I'm about to go and play golf, except I don't know where my golf clubs are. So I dig around in my house, and I remember, oh, I packed them away in that storeroom, go to the storeroom, get them out, load them in my car, drive to the golf course, get out of the golf course, and I'm really embarrassed. Because I'm pulling out this golf bag, and it's got a layer of dust this thick across the whole golf bag. Like walking there, and he said, guys, doesn't someone just have a towel? Can I just dust this off? Because this is really embarrassing. See, some of us, the gifts that we've got from God are lying somewhere in a storeroom, and we know they're there somewhere, but they're just gathering dust. They're totally neglected. Very functional, very usable. The only thing is we're not picking up that golf club and swinging it. Some of us have the gift from God, lying in the storeroom, gathering dust. Paul writes and he says, please don't do that. Use it. And as you start, not use it in the sense of, thank you, granddad, up in heaven, thank you for the golf clubs that I've got now. I'll use them when I was 27, and I'll use them again when I'm 45. Because I never used them. And some of us approach our gifts that way. God gives us a gift and I'm going to use it. I'll use it once. God says, no. Don't neglect it. Keep it in good order. Look after it. Work at it. Grow at it. It's so interesting to me because a couple of years later, the same Paul writes a letter to the same Timothy. He starts the letter differently. He greets him, and then the first thing he says to him is, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Paul's adamant about this gift thing, and he's adamant about Timothy using the gift. He says, Timothy, remember, I prayed for you. You got it a couple of years ago. I told you don't neglect it, and I'm reminding you again, stir it up. One of the translations, I think the NIV says, fan into flame. You know when you're brying, and you get the little flame there, and you're sitting there. Then you get the plate or the skateboard, and you shake, and you want to get this wind blowing over the fire. It causes the fire to glow stronger. It's so interesting, just the wording that's used here, because I think so often if we ask people, if we ask ourselves, we're really honest, you know what we're waiting for? We're waiting for somebody else, maybe even God himself, to come and fan into flame. We're waiting. Yes, God, I know I've got this gift, but God, I'm waiting for you to come and stir it up. God, I'm waiting for you to come and bring encouragement, and then I'll go. God's saying, it's not quite the way it works. I've given you the gift. Now it's your responsibility. You've got the golf clubs. You decide what to do with them. You've got the gift. You decide. Are you going to look after that gift? Are you going to use it every day? Seek every possible opportunity to use the golf club, which is just a really dangerous situation. But anyway, a lot of people could get hurt in the process. But you get the analogy. God, this gift you've given me, God, I don't want to neglect it. Actually, God, on the contrary, I want to actively stir it up. I want to be involved in getting it growing, getting it stronger. Developing it, having my progress being evident to all. And that's why this evening I'm wanting us to get really practical. So what I'd like us to do again is to turn in groups of three or four to one another as we did earlier. I'd like us to pray for each other. Perhaps you here, maybe you're far from Jesus. Tell your group, they'll pray with you, introduce you to Jesus. Prayer is just a conversation with Christ, a two-way conversation. If you don't know Jesus, then they can pray with you and say, Jesus, you know this person, you've known them forever, and they want to get to know you. And they'll pray that prayer with you. Perhaps you know Christ, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask the people around you to pray with you. Scripture says in Luke 11, how you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just ask for it. Luke 11:11-13. That's how you know you're not getting anything else. It's just the Holy Spirit. And then in your group, say, God, make that manifestation, make the evidence of your Holy Spirit inside of me clear through me, God. It's like a little light switch inside of me, God. I want you to turn that light switch on so everyone can see that light is inside of me. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ask your small group to pray with you. You get filled with the Holy Spirit right now, wherever you're sitting. And then I want us to practice. Then I want you just, most simple way, just to pray for one another. You say, God, is there something that I can give to somebody else in the small group? Not something tangible, please. But God, is there something, God, is it? You know, you don't know, maybe there's someone sitting right next to you, and you know what they just really need? Maybe they woke up this morning and they just said, God, you know what I really want? Just a hug. Maybe they're saying and they're praying and they're just so confused and trying to figure out what God's word is. And God's going to give you just a little picture to speak over them. Say, I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but while I was praying, I just saw this picture and just want to say to you, you're going to ask God what it means. You know, it could change their life. You could walk around all day handing glasses of water to people. Some people aren't going to drink it. Some people are going to drop it on the side of the road, but some people are going to be thirsty and they're going to drink it. Let's be those people who are walking around handing out glasses of water everywhere we go. Saying, God, I've got this gift inside of me. Every time I come together, I've got a gift to give. I'm going to give it to someone. Somebody's going to get a gift right now. Not necessarily a check or a car or a house. Just something, God, that you've placed inside of me that I can give to them. So I'd like you guys to do that. Just turn in groups of three or four to one another and pray. And then trust God. Say, God, can you give me something to give someone else? Just before you do that, just one more thing I want to say about that. You know, as you're praying and you don't feel you've got anything to give to anyone, that's fine. That's really fine. But what I would encourage you to do is just say to the other, can you pray with me because I don't feel I've got anything to give? Can you pray with me that Jesus would show me what I've got to give? And then in the week, trust God to find a way to give that. He's going to show you. He'll answer this prayer. You don't have to do it now, but I just want to give us the opportunity because if we're not going to practice here, where are we going to practice? So I'd like us just to turn to one another and then you take your own time. If you want to sit here the whole of the rest of the night and pray for each other as God speaks to you, you're welcome to do that. If you're intimidated and you want to run away, you can leave. Won't run after you just yet. If you need to go, when you're done, you're more than welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Hang around, especially if you're visiting. We'd love to get to know you. But just take a bit of time and say, God, Can I give something to someone, even if it's just a drop of cold water? Just something, God. Because God, you want us to be people who are giving. Giving that gift that you've placed inside of us. God, we want to use that gift. Even tonight, we don't want to neglect it, but we want to start stirring it up. Amen? So, there you go. Do the stuff. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Edify one another. Build up one another.
Move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.